We thank you for the privilege that we have to come in into your presence, that sacred holy place. We humble ourselves under your mighty hand as we recognize our infirmities, our frailties, our inability both to deliver and to receive your word. So Father, I ask you for fresh mercy. Mercy upon my heart and my mouth, and the same mercy upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren, so that Lord, as your word comes forth, Lord, you will make my mouth like a pen of a ready writer. Lord, cause let your word flow out of me like a stream of living water. Let it bring life. Let it bring strength. Let it bring revelation. Lord, let it bring, Lord, a building up of our hearts and our minds in the name of Jesus. Lord, as your word goes forth, Father, I pray that, Lord God, you will cause our wills to be more submitted to your will, cause our minds to be more illuminated with the revelation of the Holy Spirit, and cause our emotions to be further tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, that we will become more like you, Lord, even through your word that comes to us today in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you for mercy. Help me, Lord, to be concise. Help me, Lord, to be precise, so that I will not say unnecessary things, but, Lord, to walk circumspectly. Lord, understanding your will and speaking only what you want me to say in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because as your word goes forth, we receive yokes broken. We receive light shining in the darkness, dispelling gross darkness, causing us, Lord, to walk in the light as you are in the light, and to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light in the name of Jesus. Fathers, go to your word. I duck under the covering of my fathers, Pastor Luby and Mommy Sarah, and I ask that, Lord, you the grace upon them, Lord, as I submit myself afresh, totally under the covering of their covering. I ask for mercy, that Lord, the mercy will be superimposed, that Lord, upon everything I've done. I don't have any confidence in my preparation. I put my confidence in you, Holy Spirit, and in that cloak of their covering upon me in the name of Jesus. And I will preach and teach this word, Lord, the same way they would have done, with a spirit of love, a spirit of humility, and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray these same things upon the ears and the hearts of my brethren. And Lord God, an eternal work will be done, causing glory to go to the name of Jesus, blessings to come to us, the sons of men, and enabling me like a scribe instructed unto the kingdom to bring forth things of both old and new. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's so good to be in God's presence, and it's such a great privilege for me to be here to share the word of God. Holy Spirit, we need you. Help us, Lord. Amen. Right, we're going to the book of Colossians, and we were in this last year, and we said this, that the book of Colossians, Pastor has taught it many times, so it's a great honor for me to have to repeat what he has said. Amen. All right, the book of Colossians was written in 60 AD, we said that, and with the book of Philippians, the book of Colossians and the book of Ephesians, I beg your pardon, are like twin epistles. They're very similar. They have the same, they talk about the same principles, you know. And Paul wrote the book of Colossians to correct two important things, legalism and Gnosticism. Now, legalism emphasizes strict self-denial of food, of drink, circumcision, strict observance of religious ceremonies, and observing the moon and all such like. And they see those things as a means of gaining divine approval. And Paul was saying that, no, this is not the way to get divine approval. You get divine approval by faith. Amen. And that was important. And Gnosticism is a mixture of philosophy and religion. We just thank God for his mercy. Amen. It's so good to have the truth, because then when you have the truth, you can appreciate what goes on around. Philosophy, people talking about things that, just ideas. and theories and mix it with religious observances. And no, that was the idea behind Gnosticism. And Paul he wrote this book to say that we are justified by faith unto good works. Amen. Bible says that in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. So let's look at it briefly. Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 to 10. And let's read it together this morning. Say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So grace is a gift. Amen. It's not merited. Next verse. Not of works. That was contrary to what legalism. Legalism says it's by works. So it says not of works, lest any man should boast. Because once it's of works, then it's you earned it. But if it's by grace, then you receive it by faith. It takes away the boasting. Amen. And then verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So we're not saying works are not important. Works have their place. But we are saved by grace. Amen. And you need to receive the grace. Because if you don't receive the grace, then you go off. You go off into the field of the fatherless. And you go into a place where powerful spiritual forces, religious forces, philosophical forces will wrap your mind around. And then, you know, devil has been around longer than we are. So really, when you are in the realm of reasoning and thinking and the intellect, you are on his turf. And on that turf, he can run rings around you. Amen. But we thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's why when we submit to God, you know, and we receive the grace, then grace itself releases eternal life. Amen. It's very important. And that eternal life itself is what enables us to generate the power of God, which is able to withstand all the powerful forces and enable us to walk in the truth. Amen. Okay, so it's very important that we and look at Colossians 2:8, because I think it's important to understand. Colossians 2:8, thank you. It says, let's read it together. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. It's very important to understand that. See, philosophy spoils you. It corrupts. It corrupts the simplicity of Christ. It corrupts. It goes against the revelation of God. Amen. And it puts us into bondage. And renders, it takes you off your destiny. Just takes you off. You know, and you never, God forbid, that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So we need to be aware of this. And we need to thank God we're in this house. We have a heritage of the truth. Amen. And we thank God for our spiritual parents. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. It's really a great privilege. A super hand. Let's give our parents a hand. Amen. For the heritage of the truth is rare. The truth. The Bible says that because they received not the love for the truth, God gave them up unto strong delusion. But when you have the truth, then you hold on to the truth. It's an anchor in the storm. Amen. And God's going to keep us under that anchor of the truth in Jesus' name. Amen. Amplify. Thank you. Let's read it. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil, or makes you yourselves captive by his so-called philosophy and intellectualism and vain deceit, idle fancies and plain nonsense. Thank you. Following human tradition, men's ideas of the material rather than the spiritual world. Just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ, the Anointed One. Let's put our hands together for the Lord. Amen. Amen. It's so important to understand that, you know, philosophy, never get around the key. The substance is Christ. Christ is the substance. No, every other thing, anything that doesn't follow Christ, put it aside. It's not important. Follow the substance. Amen. And don't get tracked with people that they talk about things that they themselves don't even know. Vainly puffed up in their fleshly mind because they're not connected. We'll see that later on. Amen. So we must hide ourselves in God. Bible says, in Him we live and we move and we have our being. Okay, Acts 17:28. It's very important. So in Christ we live. And we must not come out of Christ for any reason. Don't let Satan entice us and say, what about this? So what happened to these people? What happened to that people? What happened to these people? We're not involved in all that. All that is plain conjecture. He says plain nonsense. Let's focus on Christ. How can we become more like Him? How can we think like Him? How can we love like Him? How can we cause His glory to be manifest? How can we save the nations? Those are the keys. Amen. And that's what it's all about. So Paul wrote this book to show us that Christ is far superior to empty philosophy and principalities and powers. Alright, they may be mighty and they may be big, but Christ is far superior. Bible says that God has given a name that is above every other name. Amen. Alright, so He's far superior, and He also wrote this book to show us that by revelation, God has a deep purpose. What the Bible calls a mystery in saving us from hell. God did not get you and I born again so you could have a big house or houses, all right, and drive 4 Jeeps, all right, and have an account of well over 20 billion, all right, in different banks. That's not why we were saved. That's not why we were saved. He did not save you to get material things. He saved us to give us an inheritance. And that inheritance is a spiritual entity. Now it has physical, material, financial, intellectual, all sorts of accompaniments. But in its essence, it is spiritual. And that's why, Esau didn't appreciate it. Because if you're natural, you won't appreciate spiritual. Bible says, natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit. Because they are foolishness. So we must learn to be spiritual. Because our inheritance is primarily spiritual. And you must receive it by faith. It's very important. So he was saying there that God has a revelation. There's a deep purpose. What he calls the mystery of saving us. And that purpose is to reproduce Christ in us. Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. Just the key points. Let's read it together. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. See, the Jews thought they were the only ones. But Paul is now teaching us that God has extended the same blessing unto the Gentiles. And that the seed is not the natural seed, but the spiritual seed, which is Christ. And anyone who believes in Christ becomes a part of Abraham's seed. So his point is this, that God has a mystery even among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Amen. That is the mystery. No, Christ in you and I is the hope of glory. It's not money. It's not popularity. It's not power. It's not influence. It's not property. All right? It is Christ, the nature of Christ, and the character of Christ. Amen. So Christ in us, that's the hope of glory. And that is the key. It is the key that unlocks your inheritance. When God sees Christ in you, then He gives you vital access. Now we have legal access. Amen. When you get born again, Bible says, amen, man, is the new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new. Amen. Bible talks of in Romans chapter, it says that we are joint heirs with Christ. So we are joint heirs, but you are under servants. You are under tutors and governors until the time appointed. And that time appointed is when He sees Christ in you. It's not a fixed time. It's the time depending on you and I. Amen. We can hasten the time and we can delay the time. Amen. So God wants us to actually hasten the time. To hasten the appearance of Christ in us. Amen. Christ is character of Christ. The humility of Christ. The love of Christ. The merciful nature of Christ. The severity of Christ. All those things must be evident in us and must be growing progressively. Amen. That's the will of God. And then He wrote it. Is the third reason to motivate us to grow up the new man. What we're talking about now about Christ. God wants you to be motivated, me to be motivated, to grow up the new man to full maturity. By the same token, mortifying the Adamic nature or the sin nature, so we can inherit the double glory in this life. Amen. Amen. The will of God for us, our inheritance, is the Spirit without measure. Amen. The nature and the power of Christ in a measure that is uncountable, without measure. Okay, is without measure. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. Thank you. Colossians 3, 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall what? Then shall you also appear with him in what? Glory. And that's the double glory we're waiting for right now. That's what we're believing God for right now. So the key is to make Christ appear. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Christ needs to appear. Amen. So let's make him appear. We walk on it. The Bible talks about mortifying the flesh and putting on the new man in bowels of mercies, in humbleness of mind, in meekness, in long suffering, in patience, so that Christ can be evident. And then when God sees that, then God can say, thou art my son. This day have I begotten you. Amen. And that's going to be the portion of every single one of us in Jesus' name. You are going to enter into your inheritance in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. And that's why we're going through this. And God wants us to remove the grave clothes. Okay. We inherit in this life. We don't inherit in heaven. We don't inherit in heaven. We inherit where? In this life. On this side. The Bible talks about that measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're going. No, and I think it's very important that we understand that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. Where it talks about without spot or blemish or any such thing. 25:26. Thank you, sir. Right. Let's read together. Say, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Verse 27. That he might present it. What is it? The church, thank you, to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Amen. That is the church that is going to rule and reign, that will send forth the rod of God's strength out of Zion. That is the church. Amen. And so we're not inheriting when we get to heaven. We're not running away to heaven. We are going to be here and we're going to rule in the midst of our enemies. Amen. And that is the will of God for you and I. Amen. And even natural parents know this. Now, no, it was before that parents used to wait to die before they give the inheritance. Now, people are alive. They divide the inheritance when they're alive. No, they are catching on God's understanding, God's idea. Amen. That there's not until you inherit in this life. And that's why the Bible says godliness is profitable unto all things. Have the promise of the life that now is, glory of God, double glory, and the life that is to come. So it's double. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. So it's double glory indeed. You manifest the double glory here, and then you get the fullness of it when we get to heaven. Amen. So if you don't reign here, you don't reign there. So the key is to reign here. Amen. Don't put it off to the great beyond, and when we get to heaven, right here and right here is where we're going to manifest the glory of God. Amen. Amen. Now, so Paul is showing us here from the book of Colossians that by consistently releasing the forces of hope, faith, and love in Christ, you know, we can overcome the power of religious spirits. And there are powerful religious spirits. The spirit of Babylon. Very powerful. And the Bible talks about sorceries. We spoke about that last week. You know, they deceive. Bible says, whereby the lying wait to deceive, cunning craftiness, and also ideas, you know, and it looks like the Bible, but they remove one or two or three things and it becomes another gospel. They remove the conditions and they tell you the blessings and they tell you all you need to just believe. Really? And that goes against the word of God. And so it's important to understand that you know, we can overcome, but there are principles by which you can overcome. Number one, you have to maintain an attitude of submission to apostolic and prophetic leadership in your heart. That is so key, because they are the ones that provide covering for the church. Amen. It's extremely important that we understand that. You know, the Pharisees had a problem with this too. That how can God give men such authority and power? Yes, God does. You don't contact God by principles alone. Yes, you understand God by principles, but there are people that stand in a place in an office in the church, and it's God that set them. Amen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4. Amen. And he gave some up and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Next verse, thank you. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Guess what? Without these people, go to verse 14. Without them, we will be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby the lying way to deceive. So they are the ones that stand in the gap and provide spiritual covering, power that is over your life, over my life, over our circumstances, over your family, and that power shields you from the power that is in the air coming from Babylon. The power of philosophy, the power of religion, the power of error. You will be shielded and cocooned. Look at Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, thank you. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 32, verse 1. Behold, a king shall reign. They reign. Where? In righteousness. And princes shall rule in judgment. Verse 2. And they... singular, not a group. A man. So God can give men that power. He does give men that authority. Amen. The man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Next verse, see the result. Revelation. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. We can go on and on. Under covering, your wickedness will show up. You know, without covering, you can hide. But under covering, it will show up. So you can see it, so you can correct it. Amen. If not for covering, we will all be deceived. So they are dispensers of grace. We said this last time. They dispense life. They dispense revelation. There is dispense truth. So you see yourself in the mirror of the word of God, and you can remove the wickedness and be more like God. Amen. So they are key to your destiny. My destiny too. All right? Our destiny collectively. That's why Jesus told them, you know, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they speak about me. So it's people. God does give men that. And if you don't submit to those men, and you can look, if you look at church history, there were men that God entrusted key parts of the gospel unto. We talk about Smith Wigglesworth. We talk about E.W. Kenyon. Pastor preaches all the time. Talk about Papa Hagen. Talk about Kenneth Copeland. They are fathers. If you're going to get faith, you got to go to Papa Hagen. Or somebody who heard Papa Hagen. Amen. Amen. And that's how it is.
Yes,
God gave Jesus. Jesus gave Paul. Paul gave E.W. Kenyon. You know, and that's how it's passed on. It's a family of men.
Amen.
That are kings. The family of kings. Bible says we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation. So it's a priesthood. It's a royal. We are kings, you know, and that's our destiny, to become kings. And you're going to be a king in Jesus' name. But if you want to be a king, you have to follow a king. Amen. That's how to become a king. All right. All right. So you submit an attitude. That's very important. Number two, you are obedient to the word of God. If you disobey the word of God, you enter. Technically, you are under covering, but you know, covering is not going to cover for your lack of diligence, disobedience, and stubbornness. Covering is there, it will shield you, to protect you, but again, the Bible talks about the multitude of sins. God will use covering to bring chastening so that you can correct the things that are in your heart that are wrong, and then when you correct them, then the same covering will again be a blessing to you. Amen. So covering shows you both sides of God, all the goodness and the severity of God. God is not a Father Christmas. God is not a happy-go-lucky, every day just show you mercy, mercy, mercy. God has two sides. He is God of love and mercy. He's also a consuming fire. So it's important to have both. And the Bible talks about the fear of God. It makes you depart from evil. But when you have only one side, one scoop, He will forgive me. I'm a binu, motiva. I'm a binu, mofi. Yes, so why? Etobe, jubelo. You did it one day. You did it 2 days. You did it 3 days. Motobe, want jubelo. Egbambo. God have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Yes, he's able, but he wants you to become like him. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to grow up, and then you can then be a covering to other people. Amen. And that's how God's going to cover the earth. The Bible says the glory of God will cover is by covering men.
Yes, sir.
Men will cover the earth.
Yes, sir.
And each one will have a sphere of influence.
Yes, sir.
All connected to the head.
Yes.
That's how it is. Man-child. Amen. So, maintain an attitude of submission to obedience to the word of God. It's so key. The Bible says you take fast hold of instruction. It's so important. Because once you get off instruction, you enter a gray area. Where if God doesn't help you and shield you, after a while, Satan will begin to exploit that area. Bible says a little sleep, a little slumber, you know. So it's important to do what we know to do, amen, and learn how to obey the word of God. And then the third thing is a lifestyle of praying in the spirit, amen. Praying in the spirit is a lifestyle. Alright, it's not something we do now and then, something we do practically all. The Bible says pray without season. Alright, so by those three principles, an attitude of submission, obedience to the word of God, and praying in the spirit, we overcome Babylon. Amen. And the Bible says come out of her. So you can come out of her by being submissive to those in authority over you who have apostolic and prophetic leadership. We'll look at that clearly later on. And then by being obedient to the word of instruction that they give you, and subsequent to the word that the Holy Spirit then gives you. Amen. So we went into Colossians chapter 1 in verse 1. And let's read it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 1. And this is just a recap. I trust God to take us somewhere today. It says, amen. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of, and Timotheus our brother. See, doesn't it strike you that apostles are special messengers by the will of God? They are not man chosen, no. They are God chosen. If you choose yourself, it's okay, we will see. But if they are God chosen, by the will of God, and they are mature, the two criteria, Pastor has taught us this, for you to enter into the fivefold ministry. One, you must be mature spiritually. And maturity connotes spiritual capacity and spiritual wisdom and discernment. Amen. That's maturity. It's not number of years you've been born again. No. It is when you pray, when you say in Jesus' name, how much power comes out? That's what we're concerned about. There are levels and there are measures. Okay? And so we're talking about maturity. To enter into the office of fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, you must have that capacity at a certain level. Okay? The apostle, incidentally, has the largest capacity. He's like the thumb. So he can do all the responsibilities of all the other four offices. So he can do the work of the prophet, pastor, teacher, and the evangelist. So he is the wise master builder, okay? And he's the head, as it were. So Paul is introducing himself and letting the people know, he's not boasting, that I am an apostle by the will of God, so that they can key their faith into it. It's important. He's introducing himself so that if you're really submissive, then you can stand and get under covering. Amen. That's what it means. He's not boasting. He's telling you, connect. That's what he's saying in the Nagashow. Instead of saying, connect to me, he's saying, I'm an apostle by the will of God. So if you understand that, then please connect. That's what he's saying. And then notice this. He also introduces Timothy. They didn't write it together. He wrote it. But he recognizes Timothy in his life as an indispensable help that God brought to him. Amen. And that without Timothy, he will not have the time, the liberty, the freedom to be able to do the things that he's doing. So he's recognizing and giving honor and introducing Timothy, you know, so that we can acknowledge the fact that there is honor in service. Amen. Amen. There is honor in service. It's very important. You know, in true ministry, there is no glory grabbing. There is no competition. You know, the glory belongs to God. We are all servants. At one level or the other. No, but so the key is that we're serving together. If you are helping me, I honor you. And I see that so much. You know, with mommy. No, Eshe Gonyo, Eshe Modupe, Grandma Modupe. You know, mommy told us a story. There was a lady whose daughter, you know, came with her mom to see mommy. And in the conversation they were having, so many times, mommy was saying, Emma Shegoni, Muma Dupe, and she dupe means thank you. Mudupe, Mudupe. So when the child was going, you know, it was like, ah, mommy, this lady is always saying, ah, that lady, what's her name again? Grandma Mudupe. You know, and that's, you know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, so that gratitude, that appreciation is very important because it makes people understand the fact that they are important in their place to God and to you. Amen. So they can stop serving for what you can give and they can hook up to God who gives all things richly to enjoy. Amen. So we see that. And then going further, you can see that apostles are special messengers. They are spiritual commando forces. Amen. They have special insights, special training, and special equipment. They are not ordinary. It takes God a long time to prepare apostles. It takes him a long time. Bible talks in 1 Corinthians 3:10 that they are wise master builders. The hallmark of the apostle is simplicity of wisdom. He will tell you something so deep, yet so simple, that the person that got born again today will understand. The unbeliever with an honest heart will understand. The person who's been 10 years born again will understand. Everybody at their level. That's a wise master builder. And an excellent example is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Look at the parable of the sower. Up till tomorrow, if you read that parable, you'll get another revelation. And it's very easy. There was an agrarian society. You know, a sower goes to sow. So he pours seed on the ground. Everybody can understand that. Just common sense, it makes sense, doesn't it? And then you can understand the spiritual import is layers and layers like an onion. That's an apostle. Wisdom. How to do what you need to do to become. The how of the how of the how. That's wisdom. Amen. And that's from the prophetic, which is revelation. It tells you, It points the way and tells you the how in generality, but the apostle nails it down for you. And we thank God that in this house, we have a wonderful blend of both. Amen. Let's give God a super hand. Amen. Brethren, it's a rich treasure that we have. So you can grow just like that. You don't have to roam through Romans. You don't have to go and be looking for miracle in one place. You know, you grow quickly. You understand the right from your left. They espouse us to Christ. They're not espousing us to themselves. They're asking you, you can do it by yourself. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I'm here in the background. Yes, I'm praying for you. But you believe it. You act on it. And you get the miracle. Then when you do it, you grow. Amen. And that's how it is. Amen. So it's so precious, you know. And they have special training. That training is the one that really touches me. And God was showing me that today. You know, they have training in humility and love. That is, it's just like the kind of training. You know, the Bible says that God, He chastens servants, but He scourges sons. They are scourged. Scourged. And it's deep. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Give it to me in the NIV so we can understand it. But let's read it first in the King James. King James. First in the King James. Thank you. Let's read it together. For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Next verse. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Because the apostles, they say things you don't want to hear. They tell you the truth the way it is. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. They tell you that without the cross, you're not going to get the crown. All right? And those things make them unpopular. Next verse. But they do it anyway. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. Next verse. And labor, in spite of all the spiritual work, they still do physical work of their own, and labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we do what? They don't give evil for evil. They become like God. They can't afford to. We bless. Being persecuted, we do what? Suffer it. Next verse. Being defamed. If you were defamed, what would you do? Being defamed, what do? They entreat. We are made as the filth of the world and are as the offscouring of all things unto this day. Next verse. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. Why is he warning you? Next verse. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. But in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. What did Jesus do? He was God. He took on the form of a man. Then as a man, he humbled himself, even to a death that is so shameful and so despicable. It's like he was first, and then he became last. That's what the apostles go through. They are first in authority and power, but in their love and their walk and their conduct and their character, they are so self-effacing. They go to the last. And I've seen this in our spiritual prayer. You know, staying the same under pressure. Being the same. Preaching the word in season and out of season. And growing. And I see God turning their captivity captive. So that which was for shame before, now God is turning it for glory. Amen. Amen. This is the time that God is going to magnify them in the eyes of all Israel. All them and the 7,000 in the caves that are like them. Amen. It's so important to understand that. You know that this is the time of their showing. Joseph is out of prison. But this is the process.
It takes a long time. It takes time. I'm breaking. You know, I'm breaking. They fall upon the rock. They are broken. Bible says the Lord is nigh them that are of a broken and a contrite spirit. It takes time to build them up. But when they beat them up, then don't touch them. Touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. The anointed are the apostles. The prophets are the ones who should not be harmed. And the two of them, the anointed are the apostles, the prophets. So he's talking about apostles and prophets. They are special messengers. Because upon them hangs the foundation of the church. They are the ones that give us the revelation that actually establishes the church. So they live out God's word at great cost. They are priceless to God. And the Bible says that they are worthy of our esteem and our honor. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Thank you. No, okay. Verse 12. Thank you. And we beseech you, brethren, to do what? Know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. And what? Admonish you. Verse 13. And to what? Esteem them what? Very highly for their work's sake. Very highly in love. You must love them. Love them in your heart. Pray for them. Follow them. Be at peace with them. Serve them. You know what? In serving them, you're serving Christ. In loving them, you're loving Christ. You cannot love Christ and not love them. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. God showed me this. 10, verse 12. Thank you. Let's read it. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? It's them. That fear there, he's talking about fear, is honor. Another word for that fear is honor or reverence or awe. That fear. So he's talking about God. Says, but what does the Lord thy God require of thee? What has he asked us to do? To fear the Lord thy God. To what? Walk in all his ways. And to love him. And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. How do you do that? By serving those in authority. By loving those in authority. You honor those in authority. You follow them. Then you walk in all of his ways. You don't know his ways. The only way you know his ways is by looking at them. When you see them, then you see his ways worked out. So when you see his ways, then you follow the way. Because they are the way. So when he says fear the Lord, he's talking about honoring them. When he says walk in his ways, he's talking about following them. When he talks about loving him, he's talking about loving them. And when he talks about serving him, he talks about serving them. They are an extension of him. They are kings. Kings on God's holy hill. So you can't pick and choose. It's not like that. Amen. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Alright, so that's what God wants us to do. And that's how we get the borrowed anointing of the double glory. Okay, so it's important to understand. Now, verse 2. Now, the link here, let's read it. Verse 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God will have mercy on us in Jesus' name. Now, what is he saying here? He's saying he's greeting the brethren, the saints and the faithful brethren. Know that the faithful brethren are faithful brethren. They are faithful brethren and then they are saints. The faithful brethren are taking care of the saints because the fathers and the apostles can't do it by themselves. They need faithful brethren. Amen. And I'm looking at faithful brethren. Amen. Amen. So God is greeting you. Thank God for your intercession. Thank God for your sacrifice for meetings. Thank God for all you're doing. God recognized your labor of love. He recognized your sacrifice. And God is greeting you and saying, grace and peace be unto you. Amen. Amen. So receive that as a greeting this morning. That God is greeting you. I bring you greetings from the Lord. Keep serving and keep being faithful. Amen. So to all the faithful brethren, he says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Lord. He's talking here about the connection between faithfulness and grace. Amen. And it's important to understand, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness is trustworthiness and stability that is progressively developed by dying to self and living for God. It's not ordinary. Faithfulness is trustworthiness and stability. You are stable. Pastor was talking about being unstable some weeks ago. Okay? No? But God doesn't want us to be unstable. Okay? No, He wants us to be stable. Faithfulness is trust and stability, and is progressively developed. And that is what God finds in the apostles and the prophets. He builds faithfulness over years in them. Now, what is grace? Grace is the unmerited favor of God, we know this, that gives us eternal life in our spirits, and it comes in measures. Look at Psalm 30, verse 5. Psalm 30, verse 5. Thank you. We need to speed up. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Now, what I want to pick out there is that in his favor is life. See, the grace of God gives life. When you talk about special grace, well, whatever grace, all right, it is giving life. Amen. And what is life? Life is a substance inside God. That's eternal life. Bible says that the Father has life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. And the Bible says that I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So God wants us to have life. So that grace is life. All right. And it's that life in the grace of God that enables us to be faithful. Amen. Natural man is unfaithful. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 6. In our normal, natural selves, we are not faithful. And I'm sure you can recognize many instances where you failed, where you've been hypocritical, where you've compromised, you and I, where you've been double-minded, where you've been unstable. We remember the story of Peter. You know, Peter that went and preached to Cornelius. He said, Peter, when brethren came, Jerusalem, Saint Peter, his instability, his unfaithfulness, is, you know, 1 minute this way, double-minded, going with the wind. All right, look at Proverbs. It says, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man, who can? That's a rhetorical question. It means that a man cannot find it. God has to find it. God has to prepare it. You don't have faithful men. Nobody is born faithful. We are made to be faithful. Amen. It's important to understand that. But and if you look at 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, 1 Corinthians 7, 25, I beg your pardon. Now, concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that has obtained mercy of the Lord to be. This is an apostle talking. He has obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. Apostles obtain mercy, and you will also grow and obtain it in Jesus' name. All right, but that's what it means. He obtained mercy to be faithful. Okay, so that mercy is what helps him to be faithful. So God is the faithful God. Of course, we know that. All right, and he's able to make us faithful by making us follow faithful men. Amen. God makes you faithful by making you and I follow what? Faithful men. All right. Look at Hebrews 13, verse 7. This is how God does it and how he's been doing it. It says, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Remember them which have the rule over you. What did he say in 1 Thessalonians? Them that are over you. Okay. Who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Considering the end of their combat. When you see where they're going, like Christ, you do what? Follow their faith. So you don't follow blindly. You follow their faith. What they have learned, what they have taught, what you have seen in them, all those things, you do them. Like Philippians 4 says. You do not how to follow. You follow by seeing, know what they do, by hearing by learning from what they have done, and then by copying. Amen. So you imitate them, and it takes you and I into faithfulness. Amen. Now, mercy guides us into grace. It's important to say that, you know, because mercy and grace work together. It's important to look at Hebrews 4:16. So we can identify, it's a Bible study, so we need to look at the word. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we what? Obtain mercy. What did the apostle obtain? Mercy to be. So the mercy links you up with grace. Mercy is the disposition of God, unmerited, to give you life on the outside. And it helps you, it softens, it softens your will, enables and brings you to a place where you can confess your sins, where you can repent, and you can now receive grace on the inside. So mercy is working on the outside, giving you life. Grace is working on the inside, giving you life. So you have life on the inside and life on the outside, okay? And that's what helps you find help, to find the help in the time of need. So it's important to understand that mercy gives us life to be faithful. So God is the initiator. You didn't love God first. He loved you first. He loved us first. So we love him because he first loved us. We respond to God. We're not the ones that decided, oh, I think I should get born again today. No, it is God that, Bible says, no man can come except the Father draw him. So the Father, God is the one initiating. So if you really want to be faithful, just lean on his everlasting arms. Rest in his mercy. Hope in his mercy. Look at Psalm 33:18. Mercy is so important. That's why every time you hear pastor say, Lord, have mercy on me. Before pastor prays, he will say, Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. Then you will pray. Why? Because it's understand that it takes mercy for your prayer to work 10 times out of 10. Yes. It takes mercy. It's mercy. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So God is always there wanting to show. So why not take advantage of it? He says, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God. So take advantage of all the mercies. Receive it. He says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his. Don't hope in your strength. Don't hope in your finances. Don't hope in your whatever strength is that you have. Is it wisdom? Is it strength? Bible says, glory not in your wisdom. Glory not in your riches. Glory not in your strength. But glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, the God of mercy. I'm God of loving kindness, of judgment, and of right. But the first part is loving kindness. That's how to enter into faithfulness. Faithfulness is a cycle. It's coming from God. You plug in by faith in his mercy. Amen. All right. Now, grace also comes from God, and it comes through human vessels. And this is God's plan. He takes time to prepare one vessel, then he replicates that vessel in many others who are submissive and diligent, so that what took such a long time to accomplish in one vessel takes a very short time for the other vessels. For example, it took such a long time to prepare Paul. Then for Paul, we have Timothy, we have Silas, we have Titus, and the list goes on. Amen. So, the same way, God is raising up our spiritual parents in this house. Amen. Pastor Mommy. And he's also raising up Pastor G after them. And your number is there somewhere. Amen. Your number is there somewhere. And we will grow up onto that measure of maturity. Amen. That's what God is doing. So, God is not going to take, of course, now it takes 20 years, but what will happen is that as you are growing, because you are under covering, you'll be enjoying the borrowed anointing. God can't wait for you to grow before you manifest the fullness of the glory. So he will borrow from somebody else. It's not the key is to be able to manifest. It doesn't belong to anybody, it belongs to God. So you just take it. Yeah, it takes a bit, but in a sense, it belongs to someone because some people have inherited it. Amen. You inherit it. Don't you know? You inherit it by conquest. You inherit it. So you obtain it. And Bible says, this day have I begotten you. So in that wise, it belongs to them. In that wise. But if you know them, they can, no problem. if you keep your heart right. Amen. All right. So that's the way it is. I remember the man in Israel who wasn't a part of the disciples. He tapped in on the borrowed anointing. So the keys are hearts, amen, brethren. That's the key. All right. So this is the wisdom that let me first of all talk about this. How can we then be faithful? Number one, acknowledge you are not faithful. We said this last time. See, if you don't tell yourself, no, we read it last week. How did he say it? You know, he when we're reading the Amplified, you know, self-distrust. He that trusted in his own heart is a fool. Your heart will play games on you. It will deceive you. The Bible says her ways are movable. Not your heart. The Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things. And is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Stop. He's telling you, you can't know it. Only God can know it. Your heart is yours. But even you that owns it, you don't know it. Today, you will say, go right. Then it will go left. And you say, but I wanted to do this. How did I end up here? And you'll be giving an excuse and saying, my intention. Shh. You are not here. You are here. How did you get here? An enemy has done this. Your heart. And on top of the heart, there are forces. So with the heart being deceitful, and that deceitful heart enjoys the forces. So really, you know, we have a problem. It's a real uphill battle. That's why you need to submit those in authority. So that God can then help you. But the first thing is to acknowledge, I have a problem. Paul put it this way. Who will deliver me? He says, oh wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? And says, thanks be to God. All right. That's first Corinthians 7, I think, last verse. Okay. So it's important to understand that you must acknowledge you're not faithful. Then you submit to apostolic fathers who are faithful. That's the next verse. That's the next step. Next step. Then you seek the Lord for mercy to be faithful. Seek him. It's not one time. It's every time in your heart, in your mind. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me in this regard. Thank you for your mercy, Lord. I appreciate you. Thank you. You pray in the spirit. Thank you, Lord. It's very important. Acknowledge the mercy. Mercy is what keeps the cycle going. Mercy is what makes it a cycle. It becomes a life cycle. Fear will bring mercy. Mercy brings more fear. Fear brings more. And once your heart is right, you enter a fair mercy cycle that never ends. And your heart is always right. You always stay connected. Amen. 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 You can see that, you know. So that's the will of God. And then number four is obey instruction that you are given in God's word by the fathers. Okay? And then by the Holy Spirit. If you are not faithful in what the fathers give you, the Holy Spirit will not talk to you. It's important to understand that. But those people will talk to you if you are faithful in what the fathers have given you. Okay? All right. And two key instructions here. Pray in the spirit at least once every 6 hours. It's important. Pray in tongues once every 6 hours. Pastor has taught us this. You know, choose to fear God. Pray those prayers. Do those prayers. You release the power of God. Because, you know, the power of God depreciates with time. So you have to boost it. It's like a booster station. When you put the real original mast, it's in Lagos. But when you get to Moe, you put a booster. And when you get to Redeem, put another booster. Iperu, put another booster. So all the way on the express, you can get signal. So when you pray all through the day, guess what? You boost. You release the power of God. Let's look at Jude 20:21. Very important here. Jude 20:21 is very important. We're looking at this yesterday in fellowship and was so blessed. Jude 20:21. So begin to round up. Let's read it together. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Next verse. Keep yourselves in the love of looking for the looking for the of our Lord unto eternal life. So what you do is when you pray, you are building up yourself. Okay, then you are keeping yourself in the love of God, and then you are looking for the mercy, so that the praying and the faith and the mercy form a cycle that keeps you inside God's presence all day long, and you stay connected. In that place, when the life is flowing through your heart, it will flush out wickedness, it will flush out unfaithfulness, it will flush out your own agenda that you didn't even know you had. Amen. It will expose it to you by the word and by the prayer. You will see it, and then you now have a choice to remove it and separate. And then number two is balanced Bible reading. Okay, you read your Bible so that God can talk to you. And then of course, balanced Bible study and weekly rhema. When you do that by the word and by the spirit, the heart will be purged. Now, this wisdom, this pattern of God raising up one man and using what one man as a template to produce other men is what we see in Jacob's life, where God used that principle to help Jacob overturn Laban's cruelty. Now, I hope there are no Labans amongst us. Amen. All right. If you are an employer of labor or you're an authority over men, it's important to be fair. It's important to be just. The laborer is worthy of his hire. Amen. Don't give people less than you honestly know they deserve. Amen. It's very important to say that. But on the other hand, see what Laban did. See what Laban did to Jacob. He changed his salary 10 times. If anything happened to Laban's sheep, Jacob luma forifa. That means Jacob is the one that will pay it. Even if he pays him a few tokens and all that, and Jacob buys one little sheep, if one gets lost out of Laban's sheep, that little one that Jacob had, he will take it and use it to replace the one that God lost. There's no story. He was wicked. And it was his family. His uncle. Blood uncle. Blood uncle. What are we saying here? We are saying here that, see, not all Israel is Israel. And it's not so much the blood connection. You must know no man after the flesh. It's very important. Look at this prophetic process here. Look at Genesis 30, verse 32 to 43. We'll just go through it very quickly. Genesis 30, 32. So, one day, Jacob had enough. He was here for 20 years. That's how long it takes for you to go into maturity, incidentally. Okay? Jesus, we know, at 12, he began his ministry, and he finished at 33. So you see that 21 years. You see that in Joseph. You see it in Jesus. So it's about 20 years to go into the fullness of Christ. But let's put it this way. When Jacob ran away from Esau, he was a supplanter. He was a trickster. When he got to Laban, he saw that I'm a small boy. He saw this guy is a grandpa in the business. All right, and when he saw that, he didn't know. He served him faithfully for Rachel. He gave him Leah. I can't give the first, but he said, okay, I will serve again. It's after he served him, then again, he now gave him Rachel. Then he now served him again 6 years for the flock. Laban was hard. But at the end of the 20 years, gosh, God was building up Jacob. He was growing. I want to encourage you, brethren, just stay where you are and be growing. Have no malice, so have no ill will. Because that's the sign. You must grow in love. You must grow. We must grow. We must grow in love. All right. And we see here that, God was changing his character. Look at verse 31. Let's read it. Say, I will pass through all the flock. 31. 31. Yes. It says, what shall I give thee? So, Jacob said, okay, fine. I want to go. I said, don't go. I said that God has blessed me because of you. Please stay. And I says, what will I give you that you make you stay? He says, don't give me anything. He had come to begin to understand that he had an inheritance. And that inheritance was more important than any physical thing Laban could give him. So he said, don't give me anything. Don't worry, I will do this if you will keep my... Next verse. I will pass through all the flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and goats. We have to move quickly. And all the brown cattle among the sheep. Now, I don't know whether... I have never seen brown sheep. Have you seen brown sheep? No. I have never seen brown sheep. Well, this is my point. Brown sheep was rare. Have you seen brown goats? I've seen brown goats. Have you seen speckled goats? I haven't seen speckled goats. So what Jacob did was a very... He said, he took the fewest, the littlest. Laban said, No, because he was asking for... is this all you want? But he was going somewhere. He has an inheritance. The spiritual is the key, brethren, not the physical. See the wisdom of God. All right? So he took it. Of course, he agreed. Next verse. So shall my what? Jacob. Talking about righteousness. What he changed? Affliction had changed him. Amen. Answer for me in time to come. When it shall come from my hire before thy face, everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. Next verse. And Laban said, behold, I would it might be done according to your word. No problem. Next verse. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-streaked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and everyone that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hand of his sons. Next verse. And he said what? 3 days. Between himself and Jacob. You need to separate yourself from Babylon. Laban was a type of Babylon. Babylon has always crooked ways. Doing God's thing their own way. So God gave us these 3 days. We're now in the third day. By now, we should be separate from Babylon. If you are not separate from Babylon, you need to do an accelerated quick work now. And remove Babylon from inside you. Bible says, be separate from her. Come out of her. Be ye separate. And I might receive you as my sons and daughters. And I will beat you a father. He separated himself. So God was about to show himself as his father. See God. Okay. Next verse. And he took him what? I can't hear you. He took him what? He took him what? Rods of green poplar and of the hazel and chestnut trees, and peeled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. Next verse. He let the white appear. What was the white? Righteousness. It's a spiritual principle, but it's a physical thing. See, you must be spiritual in everything, in your work. In everything you do, you must be spiritual. Because God is the spiritual that God is going to use to lift us up. It's not the physical. It's not the intellectual. It's the spiritual. So he allowed the whites to come out of the rods. Rods represent authority. Amen. We see rods, a symbol of... What did Moses have in his hand? A rod. Amen. What did Aaron have in his hand? A rod. Whose rod budded? Aaron's rod. And this is the day that God is making a distinction. So here, we see this, that, you know, God changed his character through suffering. He suffered with Laban, but in that suffering, he became more mature. And then God activated his inheritance on his behalf. Now that mighty God of Jacob is going to activate the inheritance over us in this season in Jesus' name. We are in the blood moon tetra season. Amen. And in this season of the blood moon tetra, the church is gaining ascendancy. Correction. Has gained ascendancy over Babylon. That's why there's a blood moon tetra. The heavens are shaken by the power of the prayers of the church. So it tells you that stuff is happening. There is given to us for a sign in the heavens. Amen. Alright. So this day, Babylon's system, structure, and glory is falling. So separate from her. And connect to apostolic fathers. Alright? So we see here these rods, and they came, verse 30 to 39. Okay. And he set the rods which he had peeled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs, when the flocks came to drink, and that they should conceive when they came to drink. Next verse. And the flocks did what? Conceive. They did what? Conceive before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring-streaked, speckled, and spotted. What does that mean? It means that when you come to receive of the word of God that is coming from the house, you will conceive the Christ inside you. That Christ, and when you have conceived, that Christ begins to grow inside you. Amen. All right, and so you conceive by the rod. That rod is the rod of spiritual approval. All right, so you conceive among the rods. And what does that mean? You know, okay, next verse. And Jacob did separate the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring streak and all the brown, and he put some flocks. So he separated his flock from Laban's own. Next verse. And it came to pass, whensoever the stronger cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutter, that they might conceive among the... Where did they conceive? Where did they conceive? Where did they conceive? Among the rods. Stay close to oversight. Keep your eyes on them. Stay close. That fellowship in the spirit and in the physical is key. That's where you conceive, and you continue to conceive because God keeps causing you to grow. What did Mary do? She conceived when the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. So, you know, it's the same principle. You conceive among the rods, and you see that, you know, as you stay under them, you know, you begin to be like them, and you begin to grow to become like them. You know, you don't be like the sons of the prophets that knew them afar off. Okay, you know them, but yes, I go to that church, but nobody really knows you. That's not the will of God. Amen. Now, is it possible? Okay, next verse. Next verse. But when the cattle were feeble, next verse. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger became Jacob's. And next verse. And the man increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and much men servants, camels and asses. What did God do? He transferred the wealth of the wicked laid up for the just by the wisdom of God. Now, how can something that is not speckled look at a piece of rod and bring forth speckled? Is it possible? Tell me how the biology of that is. How did this happen? That is impossible under genetics. But what is impossible with God is possible with man. That's the will. Sorry, what is possible, what is impossible with man is possible with God. Amen. That's the point. So thank you for correcting me. All right. So what are we saying here? We are saying that God did something here that was impossible ordinarily. It's what men call incredible. So impossible now becomes what? Incredible. And that's what God is going to do for us now, in giving us the ability of the mind of Christ. Incredible computational skills. Incredible language learning skills. Incredible artistic skills. Incredible musical ability. So that's what we are expecting God to do now. The power of the Spirit without measure is what God is doing. But it comes to those who are faithful. So let's be faithful. Faithfulness is the key to our inheritance. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to oversight. Be faithful to Nigeria. Be faithful to your wife and your family. If you're not, your brothers, your parents. Be faithful to your employees. Be faithful to your community. Be faithful to your enemies. You need to be faithful. Let us pray.
God wants you to understand that faithfulness is divine. And it operates by mercy and by grace. You need to follow those who through faith and patience are inheriting the promise. So you can be faithful like they are faithful. Honor them. Love them. Follow them. Serve them. Pray for them. That's how to grow. So the grace upon them comes upon you. That's how it flows from person to person. It's not going to come from God direct. It's coming from God through Jesus, and then it will come to you through fathers. And if you allow God to do it, then God will turn your captivity by the glory of the borrowed anointing that you inherit. Don't give up. So stay submissive, you'll get revelation. So you can follow. Let us repent. Determine in our hearts to stay faithful under pressure. Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ the solid.
Stay.
Raise our right hand to God in faith. His oath, His covenant, His blood. They support you and I in this whelming flood. When all around us gives sway, He then alone, because He is faithful, is our hope and stay. Let's raise our right hand in faith and put our left hand on our hearts. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that you've sent to me this morning to show me that it is your will for me to obtain mercy and grace to be faithful under the covering of apostolic and prophetic leadership you are raising up in the church at this time. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I want to be faithful. And so I ask you that you will have mercy on me. Help me, Lord, to be submissive to those in authority over me, that you have raised up kings upon your holy hill of Zion. Help me, Lord, to love them, to honor them, to follow them, to serve them, to pray for them, to look out for them. Help me, Lord, to be obedient to their instruction, that I will love them not from afar, but I will draw near unto them, so that I will conceive the Christ inside of me, and that Christ will grow and will mature until I have the glory upon me. Father, I thank you. Help me, Lord, to be faithful. Teach me, Lord, to live a lifestyle of prayer, that by the blood, by the word, and by the spirit, I will overcome the satanic nature on the inside, wicked spirits on the outside, under covering, and Christ in me will be the hope of glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapa kande bosotoan, rapa katavasat, jese babababali, meneda baparikaka, rababapas, rabbe guamanidat, rabbe de dududu, rakaka kolebalai, jenalamatoa, robatoa, toa, rode de dududu, kaka kokaleveberia, rade namasa, zano, mede, mado, rede, beleleve, roleleve, tuata, jasebato, beleleve, kakai, kongalidat. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.